We call this time a special fellowship. And indeed, it is a special. Because anytime we meet in the name of the Lord Jesus, it is a special.
Amen.
So this whole weekend is special.
Amen.
And the reason we call it a special fellowship is it's not part of the messages as we have presented them here in your booklet. But it happens that what we're going to fellowship today is very much related to living a life for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. It says, living a life for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose by enjoying Christ as everything for a new revival. And I would like to title our fellowship as the gospel as the evidence of a living for God's eternal purpose. Indeed, if we are those who are living a life for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose, of necessity, we will be those who are bearing fruit in the vine as branches. So I'd like you to look at each other and look at each other and see a branch right next to you. We're all branches in the vine. Brothers and sisters, we're branches in the vine. And this is wonderful. So, as we brothers fellowship and pray about this time, there was a desire that a word concerning the gospel would be shared, not only concerning the gospel, but also, which will be touched in this next message, which is about us being vital. The definition of a vital person is a person that is living and active. And actually, when there is a life, and that life has an expression, you call that certain thing living. Right? And it is a sad occasion when a person finds themselves, him or her, under with the vital signs. You know, just laying there, and just breathing. And you can say that person is living because there is a heartbeat that is breathing, that is maybe some brain activity, but there is no expression. So it's really hard to say that person is living. They usually call that a vegetative state in which there is no expression of the life. There is just some signs that tell you that it's living. And brothers and sisters, we don't want to be like that. We want to be, the Lord Jesus, he healed many people. And at least a couple of occasions, he healed people that were laying flat. And he told them, rise up, pick up your mat and walk. Lord, I think the Lord is one that heals us this afternoon. Many of us as believers for years, we have been laying on a mat, right? And we haven't told anybody about the Lord Jesus. That's just the gospel. The gospel is this wonderful person.
Amen.
And his name is Jesus.
Amen.
And you know, we were singing that first hymn, which was, oh, is a wonderful spirit in us. That's Jesus in you. Weren't you excited about him being in you? But we run the risk of just being together in the excitement and living a life apart from the wonderful spirit in us. So this afternoon, I don't want to put a heavy burden on you. I just want to encourage you to be a living person. Because the gospel is the automatic, innate outflow of the life that we have received. Apart from the life that we have had received, there is no way for anybody to preach the gospel. So the very power of the gospel is the life of Jesus within us. So don't think that you're not qualified, you don't know all the verses, you need to pray for 30 days. No. The Spirit is within you. And He always wants to flow out. Isn't that your experience? That's my experience. Even when I don't want to say anything, He wants to say something. And that's uncomfortable, isn't it? And sometimes we say, yes, Lord, and sometimes we quench the Spirit. Oh, Lord Jesus, we want to be living. Okay, so How about we look at, let's see. I'd like to look at point number one, outline number one, just highlight up one phrase here. It says the highest, okay, we're all under living a life according to the highest peak of the divine revelation. And then under that, you have the highest peak of the divine revelation. The mystery hidden in God's heart is the revelation of God's eternal economy. His eternal plan is to dispense himself in Christ by the Spirit into us to be our life. Hallelujah. Amen. To be our life, our nature, and our everything. Jesus wants to be everything to us. And for that, he went through this process, right? The brothers went over this morning. So he can be everything to us. So that we might, what? Live Christ. So that we might live Christ and express Christ. I'd like you to underline the next phrase. This should be the principle that governs our life. What is the principle that should govern our life? Live Christ and express Christ. Okay, and then in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you look at those verses, actually, if you look at 1 Corinthians 9, 16 and 17, the context of this speaking is the gospel. I just was amazed. The gospel is right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 and 17. Okay. So, 1 Corinthians. I'll read it and you can look over with me. If I find it. Okay. 1 Corinthians 16. No, 1 Corinthians 9. Okay. Got it. For this is the Apostle Paul speaking. For if I preach the gospel, I have no boast, for necessity is laid upon me. For woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I am entrusted with a stewardship. And the last phrase that we just read is that this should be the principle that governs our life. And the Apostle Paul was such a person. He was governed by this principle. That God had been dispensing to him, and that God in Christ wanted to live through him and be expressed through him. So he found it as a necessity to preach the gospel. To him, it was not an option. Because he had been entrusted with a stewardship. On God's side, he has a plan that he wants to carry out. He wants to dispense himself into man. When he entrusts us with his desire, then that's a stewardship. And I just like to declare to all of you who have the life of God, you all have been entrusted with a stewardship. Amen. You all have a ministry. And this ministry is under the what? Under the umbrella of the New Testament ministry. Amen. Which is to fulfill what God's purpose is. That he would dispense himself into man. So every believer, as a branch in the vine, who enjoys the life of the vine, the automatic function of that branch is to bear fruit. So when we look at the gospel in this light, it's effortless. Have you ever seen a tree, a vine tree in this case, just straining to bear fruit? Like, no, that tree is just planted, enjoying the soil, the riches in the soil, enjoying the water, enjoying the sun. And out of that living of that life comes forth fruit. I like you to look at the gospel. I like you to look at the gospel as fruit bearing, not as a burden. When you look at the gospel as fruit bearing, you're released, because it's the automatic function of the life within you. All you have to do is cooperate with that life. Praise the Lord for this. Okay, so as we go on here, immediately after our salvation, we need to preach the gospel. Okay, let me rephrase that. Immediately after our salvation, we need to bear fruit. Amen. How about we say that together? Immediately after our salvation, we need to bear fruit. Amen. I wonder if there are any new believers here. Like within the last 2 months, you believed in Jesus. Could you raise up your hand? Hallelujah! Wow. These are fresh branches in the vine. Yes. That's right. You know, and within them, within all of us, is the ability to preach the gospel, is the ability to bear fruit. And, you know, brother, how long have you been saved? About a month. Oh, brother. I just want to...
I feel the same way.
Like, yeah. You know why? You know what he... You know what I said? Oh, brother. I just love him. Do you feel the same way to me? That means he really got saved. We are branches in the vine. And we love one another. Okay. That is another key to bear fruit. If you have love among yourselves, people will see that and they will get saved. You get a companion in your college campus, you're loving the Lord together, you're loving each other, man, you're a dynamic duo. Actually, it's a trio. It's you and the Lord Jesus. Really. As we're loving one another, we just bear fruit. I will share that a little later. But anyway, the point here is that it is within the freshness of the life that the power to preach the gospel is there. Okay, so every believer, every one of us, and when we share the gospel with others, we need to encourage them to bear fruit right away. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell the dog. Tell the trees. Tell all creation that you got saved.
Amen.
Actually, that's not my word. That's in Luke. It says, preach the gospel to all the creation, not just to men. So sometimes, you know, maybe you're walking by the beach. You know, the other day I was walking in the by the trees, you know. And it was such a beautiful day the Lord gave us the other day. And I just was walking in this little park that we have. And I just was... kind of talking to the Lord and talking to the trees, and you know, like one day, you know, it was such a beautiful day, so sunny, with the trees changing and the leaves falling with all these hues, and I thought, man, this is beautiful. But one day, this whole creation will be released from the slavery of corruption which is under, and the sons of God will be revealed in glory. I just was preaching the gospel to the trees. One day you will be released. And I always remember, you know, in Isaiah it says, and the trees of the hills will clap their hands. Yes! We got released! Because all of you grew in the Lord. That's what happens. When you grow in the Lord, by living a life like this, the Lord will come back and He will establish the kingdom on the earth. And the corruption that today subjugates the earth will be done away with. Isn't that awesome? It will happen. You know why? Because the mouth of Jehovah has spoken it. But the word says, it will happen. Okay. So, immediately after we receive the Lord as our Savior, we need to tell others. And I wonder if somebody can help me looking up Acts chapter 9, verse 20. Look up Acts chapter 9, 20. Is this my bottle? Yeah. Who has it? Brother, could you stand up and read it, please? Acts 9, 20. And after 3 months, considering what he had to do, he went and studied the scriptures, and then he went to the synagogue. This is the apostle, you know, this is Saul of Tarsus. He met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and immediately, I love that, and immediately he went into the synagogues to proclaim this as the Christ, right? Isn't this the Christ? Actually, that's what the Samaritan woman said, right? Okay, you know the story of the Samaritan woman, right? In John chapter 4, she got She got a drink of the living water.
Yeah.
Right? She drank of the living water, and she left her water pot, and she went to that town, right, of Sychar, and he turned that town upside down.
Amen.
With this kind of gospel.
Amen.
Come and see a man who told me all that I have done. Is this not the Christ? That's all she said. That's all she said. She drank of the living water, and that became the impetus and the power for her to go into that town. This is a woman that had lived a shameful life. But you know what? She got released from her sin. The Lord confessed her sin for her and gave her a drink of the living water. And then she, you know, her word was used by the Lord to bring that town to him. So then they came to him, and then they said, now we just not only believe because of your word, but they needed the word to come to him. That's why the word in Romans, it says, how will they know if there's nobody to tell them about it? How could the town of Sychar know about the Lord Jesus Christ if there was no Samaritan woman there? She went there and told them, come and see this man. Is this not the Christ? And then, let me finish what they said. He said, we don't believe, you know, now we don't believe just because of your word, but because we have seen him. And we see that he is the Savior of the world. Isn't that awesome? That woman brought them to Christ. So brothers and sisters, our living means a lot, especially after we are those, after we are saved. So I would encourage those of you who are freshly regenerated by the life of God, you need to unfurl your flag and let everybody know, I have believed the true report.
Amen.
Hallelujah to the Lamb.
Amen.
Awesome. Yes. Okay, and you who have not unfurled your flag, even though you have been saved for 10 years, take the flag out and unfurl it right away. This coming Monday, somebody asks you, hey, how was your weekend? Awesome. Let me tell you about it. I learned about living a life for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. I don't know, the Lord will give you something. You go to that campus with a desire to bear fruit. The Lord will give you fruit. How many of you are branches in the vine? Okay. Your function as branches is to bear fruit. Sorry. Actually, no, I'm happy about it.
Amen.
The Lord is happy about it.
Amen.
We have to see who we are in the vine. We are branches. Okay. Romans 1:16. How about a sister? Could a sister read it? Romans 1:16. Go ahead. Can you stand up and read it? Amen. That's the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the Romans, right? The gospel to the Romans. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, but it is the power of God unto salvation. To whom? To everyone who believes. Do you believe?
Amen.
The gospel is the power of God to save you. You know, in there, it seems that the salvation is just to everyone who believes through our speaking. But actually, when you speak, you get saved. The key to be a living Christian, I'd like you to write this down. The key to be a living Christian is to bear fruit.
Amen.
That's it. You want to be living? You want to know what the joy of the Lord is? Cooperate with the Lord in bearing fruit. And you will be a happy believer.
Amen.
That's it. No need to watch Oprah to be happy. No need to go to Dr. Phil. All those are patches in the human life. We need to enjoy Christ.
Amen.
Okay. So, he was not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. That is the dynamic power of the resurrection life of Christ. That's there, harnessed where? In the gospel. Okay. And to salvation. So we get saved, people get saved by through our speaking. Okay, I'd like to read something. It says, if we do not confess with our mouth that we are Christians, and if we are Christians secretly, we will experience much more difficulty than those who are Christians openly. Follow? Okay. If you're a believer, but you don't let anybody know about it, the whole world will try to bring you into all kinds of defiling things. They will. Because you haven't unfurled your flag. You haven't said, I'm a believer. I love the Lord Jesus. So then you feel you will be in perilous positions before your friends, before people, before the world. Because they think you're just like them. So they want you to go with them in the same flood of dissoluteness. There's a flood of dissoluteness going around. And they just want to carry you with them. And if you don't let your friends know that you're a believer, you will be carried by that flood. Let people know you love Jesus. Amen. That's all you need to tell them. Come see a man. Okay. Our temptation will be many times greater than the temptation of those who openly confess the Lord. Right? That's true. Okay. Another serious problem that we would have if we do not confess the Lord before men is that we will surely offend our conscience. Because the Lord is within us. And the Lord says, if you do not confess me before men, I will not confess you before my God and, you know, my God and the angels. Right? Matthew chapter 10, I believe. Right? And then we will have to pretend, and we will have to sympathize with those who oppose the Lord. Do you want to do that? Oh, Lord, save us from living this kind of life. Okay. Then I'm going to my second point. I'd like to read to you some verses in Luke to show you what does the gospel do, which is tremendous. This is Luke chapter 4. You know, the gospel was the first commission given to the Lord by God. That's the first commission given to the Lord Jesus by God. Luke chapter 4, verse 43 says, but he said to them, I must announce the gospel of the kingdom of God to the other cities, because for this I was sent. Why did the Lord come? Why did God go through this process? So he could announce the gospel. For this, he was sent. Okay. We are sent by him. He sent us. Just like the Father sent him, he sent us. You should write down, I am a sent one. You know, the word sent means apostle. A sent one means an apostle. Who goes to Boston College here? Anybody? Nobody. How about, I know some that go to Central. Who goes to Central here? Okay. I'd like you to meet all the apostles at Central Connecticut State University. They have been sent there. Wherever you are, the Lord sent you there so that you could be a fruit-bearing branch. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Then if we go earlier to Luke chapter 4, I'd like you to look at the effect of the gospel. This is Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 18. Let me read them. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and reports about him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught them, and he taught in their synagogues, and was glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and according to his custom, he entered on the Sabbath day into the synagogue and stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to announce the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send away in release those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. We were all baptized into one Spirit. Actually, we were all baptized into one body, and we're given to drink one Spirit. The Lord was anointed. You're anointed. The Lord came in the power of the Spirit to announce the good news. Especially when you're a new believer, you are experiencing afresh the power of the Spirit. But we who are a little older, we get old and we need to be refreshed by the Spirit and realize, I'm also anointed. The Lord has sent me. Send me here. Send me there. He sent you to Stop and Shop. He sent you to where? I don't know if he sent you to Baskin Robbins, but you went there, so. You know, the Lord sent you, right? To do what? Listen to this. I like it. I'm going to read these verses again, and I want you to consider your friends, your family, and the condition of those who do not have the Lord around you. Okay? He has anointed me to announce the gospel to the poor. To the poor. This is to the poor in spirit, right? If you're poor in spirit, you will be able to receive the gospel. So we need to pray that those around us would be empty to everything they think they know so that they could receive. But that, you know, also it means here, also who are destitute, who do not have anything. Right? He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. How many of our friends, our families, are captive under Satan's tyranny? Right? Recovery of sight to the blind. You know, in Ephesians, it talks about Satan being the god of this age who blinds the thoughts of the unbelievers that they may not see the glory of the gospel. There is a god, there's a blinding god in this age that blinds the thoughts of those who do not believe. But if you come in the power of the Spirit and announce the gospel, you will open the eyes of the blind. That's what the gospel does. Didn't that happen to us? We didn't want anything to do with God. And somebody shared the gospel with us and our eyes were open. Right? Then, to send away and release those who are oppressed. That's either by sin or by demonic oppression. You know, all kinds of things are attributed today to this and that. A lot of the things that we see around us is just the power of Satan oppressing people. And we think, oh, they just need a good doctor. No, they need Jesus. Yeah, yeah, they do need a good doctor. They need the physician. And you know who has the physician? You do. I do. So Paul has this kind of sense about it. He says, I am a debtor. I owe people. I owe them the gospel. I owe them. But I don't like to, again, remember, you're a branch in the vine. Okay, so this brings me to the third point, which is every believer is a branch of the true vine, which is the Lord Himself. The unique responsibility of a branch is to bear fruit. The unique responsibility of a branch is to do what? To bear fruit. Okay. The gospel, the fruit bearing, is a responsibility in our daily life. Preaching the gospel needs to be carried out by new branches. New branches need to preach the gospel. You know, sometimes I'm so glad you're all students on campus. And all of you, you know, the Lord sent you there. That's your field. And you can till the ground and bear fruit in that campus. That's your responsibility. Okay, so please, I'm going to read something that I'd like you to pay attention. Learn to fellowship with the Lord and to live in and with the Lord. That in this way, if we have a desire to cooperate, He will pave the way for us to contact our neighbors, schoolmates, classmates, and relatives. That sounds like this morning's message, right? Enjoy the Lord. Right? Learn to fellowship with the Lord and to live in and with the Lord. Learn to walk in the presence of the Lord. Then in this way, if we have the desire to cooperate, He will pave the way for us to contact our neighbors, schoolmates, classmates, and relatives. Our living should be to preach the gospel and bear fruit for the Lord. In this way, we will gain the full enjoyment of the Lord and cause His body to increase. Amen. That sounds like the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose to me. Brothers and sisters, the fruit bearing is, I would say, is the test whether or not we are living in the reality of God's eternal purpose. If we are bearing branches in the vine, big question mark on your fellowship with the Lord, big question mark in your living in the presence of the Lord, big question mark in all those things. Why? Because the Lord wants to bear fruit. That's what He does. Okay, so Brother Yemi will cover the another point, another side, which matches, you know, it's kind of the complement to all that I've spoken thus far. And but I'd like to tell to read one more verse concerning this matter of preaching the gospel, and that is in John chapter 4. If you turn with me in John chapter 4, after the disciples come to the Lord and ask Him if He had anything to eat, He says to them, "I have food that you do not know of." Right? My food is to do what? Is to do the will of my Father. Brothers and sisters, nothing makes us so satisfied as to when we cooperate with the life within us. All our needs are supplied at that point. Okay, so then in that context, then the Lord says in verse 36, "He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit unto eternal life, in order that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps." And this is a word so that we would not be discouraged. Sometimes we preach the gospel and the person rejected us. How many of you have been rejected by, praise the Lord for these branches? Right? If you've been rejected, don't be discouraged. You sowed a seed. And that's, you know, the Lord's told about His word. He sends His word, and it will not return to Him void until it accomplishes what He sent it out to do. So if you're moved by the Lord, if you're cooperating with the Lord in His move, and you open your mouth and somebody rejects you, you just leave it to the Lord. Because you just sowed a seed. 3 days from now, he may get into an accident. Really? You know what happened? I was in Paraguay. We were traveling. And we went to this little gas station. We talked to the attendant there. And, you know, I wanted to say something about the Lord. And then I just started sharing with him. I said, "Do you believe in the Lord Jesus?" And he said, I do. He said, "I believe." And then he said, and so I asked him, "Have you received Him? Have you received Him as your Savior?" And he said, "No." He said, "No." But like 2 days before, this young man, like 22-year-old, he had been in an accident. He had gone like 160 kilometers an hour, which is about 100 miles an hour. And his car flipped. That's like 2 days ago. And he's working. And he was saying, like, "There's got to be something up there, you know." That's what he was saying. You know why he had that accident? So that he could hear that he can receive the Lord as his Savior. The Lord preserved that young man's life so that he can get saved. I just had the The witness within. The only reason I came 4 hours from the other side of Paraguay to the other side was to meet this man so that he could get saved. Wow. That seems extreme. But all kinds of people are in the same situation all around us. Anyway, so some of us sow and some of us reap. So right there, in that convenience store, he prayed to receive the Lord. Somebody might have sown in his heart earlier, but you know what? I reaped. We need to sow and we need to reap. Don't be under the concept that you cannot bring people to the Lord. We are branches in the vine. If the Lord gives us the opportunity to present him to somebody, we have to look for the way to close the deal. Okay, pray. How about Albert? You're my gospel friend. I just met you, Albert. Okay, just pray with me right now. Open your heart and repeat with me. Okay, watch me. Look at me, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus,
I believe in you.
Oh, I believe in you.
I receive you.
I receive you.
Albert got saved. His eternal destiny got changed. Anyway, I want to mention this. One sows and one reaps. And we both rejoice. One day we'll find out, man, you spoke the gospel to him and I closed the deal. Praise the Lord. And that person will be so thankful. Thank you for preaching the gospel to me. Thank you for telling me. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Amen. Hallelujah. Can we all read together again the burden for this weekend? Hallelujah. Living a life. Amen. After three. One, two, three. Living a life for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose by enjoying Christ as everything for a new revival. One more time. Living a life for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose by enjoying Christ as everything for a new revival. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it is not a method, and it's not a teaching. It's a living. Hallelujah. You know, there's no technique to it. It's a living. Amen. It's not 10 hours a day. It's not, you know, just from 4 to 6. Brothers and sisters, it's a living. Amen. And what comes with a living? With our living comes habits. You know, there's going to be a message tonight on morning revival, but I'd like to start by us realizing that the totality of our Christian life is a life of what? Contacting God and contacting man. This is just the New Testament priesthood of the gospel. What is it again? Like in the morning, all day long, I'm contacting God, contacting God, contacting God. I'm playing basketball. You know what? I'm contacting man. While I'm contacting man, I'm still contacting God within. You know, how do I do that? Calling on the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. What about that guy that just bumped me? Oh, Lord Jesus. That guy needs to get saved. Oh, Lord Jesus. In the morning, we pray read the word. This morning, Brother Dennis Cooley spoke a marvelous word. I'm pray reading the word. You know, I used to realize that pray reading the word is like taking a tonic. So in the morning, you know, we've been getting very health conscious, so I take my flaxseed capsule, take my cod liver oil capsule. Before that, you know what I need to take? I need to take my praying the word capsule. That's solid. It's solid. You know, you get the word and you get the spirit as a solid dose in the morning. You know, once you get that, you know, Brother Dennis was saying what? That, you know, it kills all the germs in our being. Is it self? Is it pride? Is it independence? Take a solid dose. You know, just a verse. Take a solid dose of the word in the morning. There's a killing going on. And with that killing also, there's an enlivening. Our inner being is getting enlivened. You know, I'm going to start again from you know, even with this matter of living a life for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose by enjoying Christ as everything for a new revival. As the brothers shared last night, there's a need for us to deal with our being so that water can flow. Can somebody read Numbers 21, verses 16 and 18. If you find it, just read it, please. Amen. Amen. Right. So I'm going to read notes from our study Bible. Hallelujah. If you haven't gotten this study Bible called the Recovery Version of the Bible, get it. It has a solid part of the solid Word of God. You know, it gives you excellent footnotes that really opens the Word. I'm going to read two footnotes from there. Footnote number 18 says, those who seek after the Spirit and take the lead to dig the well are noble and are leaders. Now I'm going to read another word here. The digging of the well signifies the digging away of the dirt, the barriers in our heart, our mind, emotion, and will, and conscience, so that the Spirit, as a living water, may spring up within us and flow freely.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we need to be those whose Spirit is springing up. I love John chapter 7, verses, is it 37 or 57? 37. And the Lord Jesus said, who has that verse? If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. For out of his innermost being shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Brothers and sisters, I read that verse one time. I was like, Lord Jesus, I want rivers. Your word said, those who believe into me, Lord Jesus, I believe. So, Lord, there must be rivers of living water.
Amen.
On our campus at Central Connecticut State, at Harvard, wherever you are, UPenn, there needs to be rivers at UPenn.
Amen.
Brothers, there should be rivers at WPI.
Amen.
Rivers of living water. And where is it going to come from? It's going to come from you, Ray Lee, at MIT. Rivers of living water.
Amen.
But for there to be rivers, what needs to happen? We need to dig. We need to dig away all the dirt, dig away all the barriers. You know, we love the Lord, but we're still growing. So sometimes, like, man, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. Lord Jesus, forgive me. You know, spend some time. Lord, I'm dead. Why am I dead, Lord? I've been praying. I've been calling. There's no water. Oh, what's going on? I'm just going to take a walk. We're going to take a walk with the Lord. Lord, dig away. Dig away. All my hopes, dig away. All these things, dig away.
Amen.
So we need to dig. Eventually, it's actually the Lord that is digging. We're not being introspective. Just saying, Lord, I open to you. What is that? Dig away till all the barriers are gone. And then you know what happens after the word? After that happens? Rivers of living water.
Amen.
So when you see people, it's like, no, it's not, you don't have to manufacture anything.
Right.
It's like, you know what? I love the Lord Jesus. Have you heard of Jesus before? He's awesome.
Amen.
That is rivers of living water. So really, that is the life we live, a life of really being before the Lord, you know, being before the Lord, being washed by the blood, and then touching the Spirit, contacting the Lord, exercising our spirit. Eventually, rivers spring up from the core of our being, and touch people. And this rivers is what? It's just the Spirit. So this really takes a. There's a need to pay a price. You know, there's a point that I enjoyed while I was getting ready for this. Paying the price to be vital. As Brother Juan shared, to be a vital person means we're living and active. To be in that type of state, we need to take care of our being before the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, by touching the Lord, contacting the Lord, you know, taking the blood, you know, not living any, if you will, any debt. Right? Just take care of every debt. Just take care of the Lord. Said that, take care of it. And then boom, we're those living a life of contacting God and contacting Him. That's who we are, brothers and sisters. We're just New Testament priests of the gospel. It's a priesthood. It's not just me. It's Dan. Dan just got saved. Arcadian, his brother. We're just brothers in the Lord. You know what you guys do in Lancaster, Pennsylvania? Contacting God, contacting people. So the question is, what if I don't like people? I've contacted God, but then there's a problem within me. I've contacted God. I'm all good with God, but what about man? I don't like that guy. Why am I going to preach the gospel to him? Okay, can we just read Romans 5:8? Let's just check this out. this is one reason. Romans 5:8. There are a couple of verses I would check out. But Romans 5:8. I'm just going to read it. But God commends his own love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord Jesus loves man. That's just his heart. You know, he doesn't love good man. He loves all men. Like, they're sinners, I'm going to die for them. That's the heart of our Savior God. A heart that loves man. So since we're believers, we should have the same heart. So there's a verse that shows that you know, once we enjoy the word, God's love, which is his divine essence, perfects the love of God in us. So let's read 1 John 2:5. If anybody sees it, let's just read that. First John chapter 2, verse 5. Amen. Amen. But whoever keeps his word, truly in this one, the love of God has been perfected. So once we read the word, the divine word, brings to us the divine essence, which is God's love. So we need to be those abiding in the word. Again, it's a living, paying the price to be vital. What is it to abide in the word? Read the word, pray, read the word. That's it. Read the word, pray, read the word. Eventually, the love of God, which is just God himself, the love of God gets perfected in us. What does that mean? That means we enjoy the love of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for loving me.
Yeah.
This is the love of God. We just enjoy the love of God. And as we enjoy the love of God, there's a response. You know what that response is? We enjoy the love of God. We love the Lord back. And then what also happens? We love the brothers.
Amen.
We love the brothers and we love man. Is it my love? No, it's not. It's God's love that has been perfected in us because we are in the Word. And how do we know this? So that, you know, for some of us, we're kind of extroverted. We just like to say hi to people. How you doing? What's going on? How you doing? Is it the love of God? Or is it a natural love? Oh, Lord Jesus.
Oh, Lord.
You know? That means everything has to go through the cross.
Amen.
This is not a natural love. Whatever we are in our natural constitution needs to go to the cross.
Amen.
Needs to be crucified. It's not our natural love. It's the love of God.
Amen.
And there's a number of ways we can know that we can test, if you will, if this is the love of God or not. One way is this love, the love of God doesn't get offended. So if it's my natural love, but if I say, hey, what's up? I don't want to say hi to you. See you later. Bye. You know what? I get offended because, like, sorry, I don't want your love. I don't want your natural love. But if it's God's love, that love does not get offended. The Lord Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners.
Yeah.
Those guys that spat on him said, Father, forgive them. He said, Father, just slay all of them. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say that. He said, Father, forgive them. What a love is this? This is the divine love. This is the divine love that has been perfected in us by us abiding in the divine word. Another matter regarding differentiating between God's love, which is the agape love, not just the phileo love that, you know, that we see in 2 Peter 1:7, but this is the agape love, the divine love, is this love doesn't stumble on it. So brothers and sisters, you have your brothers, you know, you're playing together, you're praying together. Do you want to stumble them? What type of love? If I love my brother, I'm terrified of stumbling them.
Right.
Wow. I was like, oh my goodness. Just being before the Lord. The love of God, that agape love, does not stumble the brothers. It is not offended and does not stumble the brothers. This is the love of God. And another thing I was just considering this is the love of God just loves all men. Big, tall, short, you know, whatever, comely, uncomely, black, white, doesn't matter. He just loves all men. What a love is this? Brothers and sisters, I enjoy that. I need to go to the Lord. Oh, Lord, I want your love, Lord. All of us, we need to be before the Lord about this. Lord, I don't want to be stuck in myself. All about me. How am I doing? Am I being spiritual or not? Oh, my family. I don't have money. I have money. Oh, my car is messed up. Brothers and sisters, we need to get out of our well, out of our chasm, and out of our prison of the self, and be released to see human beings around us. Brothers and sisters, there are human beings out there. Human beings walking around, looking for the meaning of their human life. This morning, our brother was sharing, there's eternity in their hearts, amen, screaming, where is God? We need to be those who say, I know Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you want this Jesus? He's awesome.
Amen.
To be like this, again, we pay the price to be vital. It's every day, every day, every day. There's no, we don't manufacture anything. It's just, I take my tonic in the morning, pray reading. I call on the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, touch the Lord. You know, the Lord washes. And then, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Where's that next human being that needs to know the love of God? You know, it's just out there. You know, I was sharing with one of the brothers. I was in a certain country, and there was this brother. He's probably about 70 years old. And then, you know, all these people in this country, they're just like, they're just like out there. They're just out there. And this brother is just like a very, like, just normal, solid, well, but he loves these people. I was like, man, how can you love these people? They're so different from him in every way. But he's like, yeah, man, go talk to that guy, man. Oh, man, that guy needs to be a lover of Jesus. Go talk to him. I'm like, wow. What makes somebody's heart be like that for a man? I just realized this is the Lord's heart. This is the Lord's heart to love human beings. So just need to be before the Lord. Oh, Lord, grant us such a heart. So here we are, touching the Lord, learning how to be, you know, those who, you know, living the life for the fulfillment of God's eternal economy. And one thing about this, it's a learning. You know, we always have to go back to the Lord. Go back to the Lord. Lord Jesus, how do I approach this person? So, you know, even there's a need for some perfecting here. We all need to be perfected by the Lord. And how do we get perfected by the Lord? Contact the Lord.
Amen.
Contact the Lord. Nobody's going to tell you, well, this is a technique. We need to contact the Lord. Contact the Lord and practice. Contact the Lord and practice. So contact God, contact man. How do you practice? You don't practice by, well, you can practice by talking to the trees. That's good. But also practice by talking to human beings. You know, I practice like, okay, so, look at that guy. So I moved to Boston from California, and I realized how you approach people in Boston is very different from how you approach people in California. You know, in California, I'm like, hey, man, what's up? Have you heard of Jesus before? And they're like, oh, yeah. They'll talk to you. In Boston, don't do that. Don't do that. They're like, whoa, okay, why are you talking to me in the first place? And why are you dressed like that? Yeah, don't dress like a Californian in Boston. So again, contacting God and contacting man and practicing. Kind of just realize we need to learn, you know, who's around us, how they are, how do they respond. We must seek a way to get people to open to us. Brothers and sisters, you're in college. You look like a college student, people are going to be open to you. You know, you have friends, you talk to people, right? Right? You talk to people. Yeah, when you do your PSATs, you have people doing your PSATs with you, right? PSATs, like exams, or what's a PSATs? Homework? Okay, yeah, you have people in your group doing homework, your lab mate, the guy you work out with, the guy you play basketball with. You know, you're all, it's a community. It's already there. So the question is, how do you get them to be open to you? You know, how do you do that? Maybe it's just one time, just hand them a tract, and then walk away. In 2 weeks, they'll come back and say, you know what, give me that track. Actually, that happened. There's this guy at the gym. I just like, hey, yeah, do you know Jesus? And he's like, oh, no, I'm not interested. Da-da-da. Sorry. A month later, he came and was like, you know what, you're asking me about Jesus Christ. Yeah, I want to know more. Eventually, that guy got saved. I was like, whoa, I've never seen that one before. You know, I just said, okay, see you later. But eventually, he got saved. So what I'm trying to get here is, being on a college campus is a unique time in your life. It's unique, you know, not to give the older ones an excuse, but, you know, when you're working, it's kind of, it gets a little harder. But when you're on your campus with backpacks, you're just always meeting people, all the time, always meeting people. That is a unique opportunity. So what do you need to say? You know what? I know Jesus Christ. Or I have good news for you. You want to hear some good news? Like, what? Good news? Did you win the lottery? No, I have Jesus. What else? Is Jesus your Lord? What question is that? I was like, okay, yeah, let's have coffee and talk to you about it. Right? So there's just so many ways. So we need to just find a way. Get people open to you. Next one. We must find the proper utterance to touch people's spirit. So, you know, there's just different utterances. Just be before the Lord. Lord, what utterance will open this guy up? And then two things that I want to also mention is, for many of us that are, as I said before, introverted or extroverted, we need to go before the Lord to lose our face. To lose our big face. Like, oh, I don't want people to know I'm a Christian, then they think I'm dumb. It doesn't matter. It's going to save them from the lake of fire, at least. Even more, it will give them the meaning of their human life. Compare that to your face. I think that's more. That's a gift. It's a gift. So that's one thing. We need to be before the Lord. I'm afraid of losing my face, Lord. Lord, I'm afraid of losing my face. Lord, save me. So that's, you know, we need to just be before the Lord regarding that. Also, some of us that, you know, maybe I don't smile that much. People are terrified when they see me. Sorry. Okay, even if you're a Christian, I don't really want that. But brothers and sisters, when we drink from the wells of the waters of salvation, we're rejoicing. Amen. You know, all week long, all this weekend long, we're just kind of repeating the same thing. It's a Deuteronomy. We're speaking it again and again and again. When we rejoice, when we draw from the wells of salvation, it makes us happy people. Yeah. We're just happy. We're just happy. Like, it's like, wow, man, what are you drinking? It's the Spirit. Yeah. We need to drink the Spirit and bring all the saints, bring all our friends, bring them to drink of the Spirit. Amen. And how do they see that? It's by our countenance. It's uplifted. It's dreary outside. It's cold outside. Yet you are happy. Right. It's not because you're extroverted. It's because you're eating Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah, brothers and sisters. Maybe those eating Jesus. Amen. Eat Jesus and give your friends to eat Jesus. Amen. And then we're just happy people. The church is filled with praises. You know, we don't, it's like, can't hold you down. Jesus is awesome. Amen. You know, one more thing is this. We must catch the proper time to dispense Christ to them, either with a quotation from the Bible or a word from our inspiration. You know, many times, like, for example, in Cambridge, you ask people about the Lord and they want to give you a lecture or draw you into philosophy. I don't want to talk about philosophy. I want to talk about Jesus. You know, they want to draw you into religion and this and that. That's where you just, you know, as we're talking to people, we're contacting God. You know, vertical, horizontal, vertical fellowship. Horizontal, vertical fellowship. You're talking to this person. So what do you do here? Oh, I'm studying this and that. Huh? Have you ever read the Bible? Oh, yeah, this is my thought about the Bible, blah, 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 blah. It's like, okay. It's like, you know what? Pray with me. Just stop it right there. Sometimes just stop the argument, stop the philosophy. Let's just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I love you. Well, you don't want to believe right now? I said, well, if you're open, is the Spirit to say, Lord Jesus, be real to me. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. You know what we just did? Just sowed.
Yeah.
Just sowed. Just sowed. We're not just going around sowing the seed. We're just sowing the seed. You know, you just say, do you know Jesus? He said no. You know what? He's going to remember that one time later. Yeah. Maybe it's on his deathbed, maybe hopefully sooner. That guy said, do you love Jesus? So, brothers, you know, it's not a small thing to say, do you know Jesus? That's a seed. That's a seed. You know, I gave this guy this track one time. Sorry, and he's just like, okay. I'm like, well, Lord, I don't know if the guy's going to read it. It doesn't matter. He might read it 50 years from now. You don't know. Just hand out that track. Just speak a simple word to that person. You know, sometimes it's like, man, I just, you know, Jesus, no, oh, okay, bye. Yeah. But it's a seed. It's a seed, brothers and sisters. Eventually, this becomes how we live. We can't stop it. You know, sometimes it's like the Lord Jesus is like bothering me so much. I'm like, Lord, I'm just having coffee with this guy. Do I have to tell him about you? It's like, yeah. I don't want to quench, you know, I don't want to quench his spirit. You know, what Brother Dennis spoke about today, he said, a spirit is always burning. Our spirit is always flaming. And what we do is quench, quench, quench. You know, when you receive the Lord, you never realize it's going to be such a relationship with the Lord, huh? I never realized it. I never realized that this Jesus is always going to be talking to me all the time. It's awesome. Even it's like, wow, I'm talking to the Lord. He's talking back to me. It's like I'm just saying hi to this person. Lord, what you want me to say? Okay. Hey, do you love Jesus? But sometimes the Lord says, well, you don't need to say anything right now. Maybe you need to wait. Maybe you need to wait till the first, second, third meeting. You know? But all this is what? Eventually, we're cultivating our relationship with the Lord. We're praying. We're touching the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this is the meaning of our human life.
Amen.
You know, this is the meaning of our human life. We can do this for the rest of our life without getting tired of it. We're the happiest people in the world because we love the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We're contacting man and we're contacting God. Again, as our brother Juan shared, we should not expect that our ministering Christ to others will cause them to have a rapid change, but care only to minister Christ to them, not for quick results. We're not here for quick results. It's a long way. You know, all we do is just minister Christ. Minister Christ. Like, take years. So I'm going to give some examples. You know, Brother D.L. Moody, he had a life where he would have to contact one person every day. There was one time he was asleep or something like that, and then just woke up, ran outside. It's like, there's a policeman there, you know, and just preach the gospel to that policeman. Eventually, you know, while we be before the Lord, maybe one day I'll just preach the gospel, hand out one tract. If you're 19 on campus, you're 20, that's not a big deal. There's just a guy, and there's people everywhere. Just, okay, boom, Lord, thank you, Lord, for that tract. Or just like one person every day. Eventually, you cultivate the habit. By the time you're 50, eventually it's who you are. But you know, it's not just that. Apart from contacting the Lord. You know, Brother Watchman Nee, when, you know, after he got saved, you know, I think all the members of his class eventually got saved, except one, and that one got saved later. Eventually, you know, we're just praying, contacting the Lord, contacting people, you know, touching the Lord, people getting saved. If they don't get saved, well, praise the Lord, they'll get saved later. Wow, there's another brother actually among us. It's probably about, you know, he serves a lot. He's a doctor. And he was sharing with me how he got saved. He got saved in Africa by a soldier with a machine gun. You know, he was just going through a checkpoint. And he was like, he wasn't pointing a machine gun at him. It was just on the machine gun. Do you know Jesus? I don't even know if that soldier knows how much that has helped the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Because that brother is such a, you know, such a dear, precious brother.
Yeah.
But he was just a soldier in Africa, just preaching gospel to this young American guy. Eventually, boom, that guy got saved. Serving as a slave in the body of Christ. So, brothers and sisters, this is an amazing life that we have received.
Amen.
And we can share this life with human beings.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord for God's economy.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for a life,
Amen.
Living for the fulfillment of God's eternal economy.
Amen.
By enjoying Christ as everything for a new revival.
Amen.
If you haven't been baptized and you've been saved, you know, being baptized is, I'm just going to finish this, being baptized is another way of just letting go. Letting go. If you've had a problem preaching the gospel before, you've been afraid, check with your experience. Have you been baptized yet? If you just get baptized, and all those things that weigh you down, all those things that tie you down, will be left in the death waters and be raised up in the newness of life. So there's an opportunity tonight. If you've been saved recently, you haven't been baptized, you want to get baptized again, there's an opportunity tonight to get baptized.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, we have a long time. We can share. We can all share. So, I don't know, brothers, to bring the microphones up at this point, or...